We've got a Taysom Hill sighting. Looks like he's going to be back from an extended injury. Dallas Cowboys look to be at full strength. Looks like they're going to have, obviously, Dak, Amari, CD, Tyron Smith, Lael Collins, Zach Martin. Looks like all these guys could play together for the first time this year. Now, in saying that, of course, they can't be fully healthy. Looks like their head coach is going to be out with COVID. That might actually help them. I don't know. Maybe they'll rally. Maybe everybody will rally together and then they'll play better than they usually will. So, Ellie, thoughts on this matchup? I mean, we saw Saints get whooped up in that show that we did last week. I thought, what was that, Monday night or Sunday night? It was a showdown last week. They got beat by the Bills. And we saw the Cowboys get beat up a little bit at the end of that game. That was an overtime game against the Raiders, right? They lost that game in overtime. They played pretty well. They were without two of their top wide receivers. So this matchup is actually going to be pretty interesting. I'm really happy that Taysom Smith is back. They've obviously been holding him back a little bit for whatever reason. It's going to change the way their offense is. Problem is, they don't have Alvin Kamara this week again. So anyways, Saints, do the Saints have even a shot here at all at home?
Yeah, I absolutely think they do. Sean Payton's still a pretty solid coach. And I don't know, man. I'm interested to see how Taysom Hill plays at quarterback tonight. His new contract is really weird. It's based on him playing all kinds of positions. So I don't know, man. And his struggle has been able to get involved in the passing game. Like, he hasn't been great throwing the ball when he's been in position. So it's going to be interesting. Now, before we get too lost on this, did you see Cordarrelle Patterson is listed as a safety?
Yeah, I did see that.
because it just reminded me, because we're talking about those guys that play different positions.
Yeah.
But he wants to go get a pick. And yeah, I think that's something you can do with Taysom Hill, too. Maybe Sean Payton will put him on defense and he'd get a pick six for us.
Look, Taysom Hill is incredibly cheap. We haven't seen him at quarterback in a long time. I think the last time he started a game was last year. It was probably week 14 against Philly. He went 28 for 38, two touchdowns, 291 yards. Looked okay. They lost that game, though. Look, Taysom Hill's at 9,600. And I know we talk about this every week. It seems like the past like two or three showdown shows we've done there's been starting quarterbacks at 9,800. He's even cheaper than that. 9,600 for a guy that can score you, can pass you a touchdown, receive a touchdown, run for a touchdown. Well, I'm really interested in Taysom Hill, and I think everybody else will be as well. He's going to be probably the second highest owned guy behind Dak. And he should be, because he's cheap enough. His medium projection going against a Dallas team that just isn't, their defense just isn't that great. I mean, Derek Carr absolutely annihilated them last week, and the Raiders looked pretty good against them last week. So if the Saints can even look half as good as that, I think this can be a good matchup, because the Saints defense is not bad. I think they can stop them on the ground. And they might be able to stop him in the air a little bit more, but I'm actually less interested in the Cowboys' run game, especially Zeke in this game, because he has been injured quite a bit. We saw it last week. He still got you there in most cases. I think he had, like, let's see, what did he end up with? He had 16.9 fantasy points. That's not the end of the world. But with a guy that cost you 10.8K on this slate, you might need a little bit more from him. You really do.
And let's be fair, Zeke kind of vultured a touchdown there. Yeah. That was a Tony Pollard touchdown. I mean, if that goes any other way, right, that's a 6-point swing, which does not help much at all. So, and we'll get into that when we get to the running back part. But I think it's going to be an interesting day to kind of just go with some of the value, or not the valuable players, but just the studs from Dallas. I think there's enough value on the Saints side that you really don't have to overthink much here.
I think you can really stick with the stud, the pass game studs, in my opinion. For the Cowboys, they're at full strength in that side of the ball. So I really think you can do that, and then you just figure it out on the other side. Put Taysom Hill in pretty much every one of your lineups, and then figure it out from there. So Dallas is going on the road. Another Saints home game on a showdown slate. Dallas is minus 249 on the money line. They're 6-point favorites on the road, and look at that ownership difference. This is a 46.5-point total, so really not a high total. This isn't a division rivalry. like we've been talking about, these week 10 and later division rivalry games are usually hitting the under. I think that this has a chance to shoot out in this particular game. We'll just see how New Orleans does. If they can keep it close, I think this can be a shootout. -6 on the road for Dallas. Do you think they're, is Vegas giving the Saints not nearly enough credit?
No, I don't think the Saints deserve much credit at all. They're 0-3 their last three games.
They lost four straight.
Four straight. Okay, yeah. So they are who we think they are. They're not a very good team. Got to throw in the Denny Green.
Wait, the Bears are what we thought they were.
Yeah,
thought they were.
A 12-year anniversary. Anyway, something like that. Look, I'm just not excited for New Orleans. This should be an opportunity for Dallas to kind of get everything back together, get their pieces right, and just really rebuild some momentum. They've had a couple tough losses, and this is a team that should be one of the top teams in the NFC. So they really should blow out the Saints here, but I don't know. We'll see what happens with the defense. I think this is about in line. I think you should probably give a couple more points to Dallas.
Yeah, I think this could absolutely be a big game for Dallas. They can come out and absolutely destroy the Saints. I'm just curious how big of a deal not having a head coach who's more of a game manager, you know, sort of general manager type coach.
How much that's gonna affect him? I think this actually helps them because he calls some weird stuff. He's punting when he shouldn't be punting. He's not using timeouts when he should be. Right? If I know you should be using a timeout in clock management situations, you probably should be doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not by any means on the level of Mike McCarthy. So, I think that they'll kind of just leave it in Dak's hands. Let him do his job. I think Dan Quinn or is it Ben McAdoo is filling in as the head coach for the Cowboys. And for the love of God, I wouldn't let him touch any play calling. We saw what he did with the Giants, which what killed the franchise.
Yeah, so Kellen Moore will have all call the control over that.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're going to give Dak some time, some opportunity just to own the game entirely. Don't rely on Mike McCarthy and his dumbass calls to get you caught up.
So injuries, Cowboys, Mike McCarthy out with COVID. Amari Cooper he's technically questionable, but he was activated off the COVID list. 90% chance he plays. I don't see him not playing. The question here is, you know, he still had symptoms up until yesterday. He was having coughing symptoms and things like that. He did get on the practice field, and he was activated. But how much, you know, conditioning wise is it going to affect him? We don't know. Do they play him the whole game? Do they give him a couple plays off? Do we see some more Gallup? Do we see some more? You know, Cedric Wilson's out for this game too, so there might be some switching around going. I mean, he could absolutely go off, and we know he has that capability. But I think a guy like CeeDee Lamb is the safest option here. You've got Jarwin still out, Cedric Wilson's still out, and when it comes to the Saints, Kamara's out still. He went out in Week 9. They haven't won a game since Week 8. It's not a coincidence. They need that guy. Adam Trautman's still out. And Ingram is back from an injury. He had a knee injury. He's going to be back. He was only listed probable, I think, early in the week. And I don't even know if he's on the injury report this week. So having Ingram back is a huge deal. We saw last week, Tony Jones, he got 16 carries. And he was $600. And if you watched the show last week, we're like, why would you not just play this guy? He's $600. He was limited to like under 2 yards a carry or something insane. I mean, they just did absolutely terrible. Montgomery ended up being the guy in the optimal, and he was only $200 because he was getting some of the pass game stuff. So having Ingram back does give them a boost, but I still think we can consider guys like Tony Jones and Montgomery. Montgomery's priced up a little bit as well he should be. All right, so we talked about injuries. Let's stop wasting time. Let's just get into the breakdown. Break it down. All right, Ellie, so you want to handle the quarterback situation here?
Yeah, I mean, this one's not going to be too difficult at all. I think you get as much Dak Prescott as you possibly can. I do not think that this is a situation where you're going to want to fade him. I think that they're going to be passing the ball a lot, especially with the potential nagging injury that Zeke's been going through. I understand they got Tony Pollard, but this is a good spot for Dak to get right with his receivers. And this is the first time that he'll have all three on the field together, I think. So, I think this is going to be an opportunity for them just to run it up here. But moving on to Taysom Hill. Play Taysom Hill. He's going to have opportunity. Even if he goes out and does not have a great passing game, there is a very good opportunity for him to have 10, 11 carries for 100, 120 yards, and two touchdowns, right? I think that he's also a captain option because you can consider him almost like a running back type situation here. I think that he's a reasonable captain option. I want to see what ownership is like as we get closer to lock. Just because I'm sure that everyone's kind of on that boat too. Like they finally get a chance to play Taysom Hill. It's been a year and a half. So I think that we're going to see a little bit of him a captain.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, both these guys are going to be in my flex. We'll get into some other positions later where there's all kinds of value. So I really have no intention on fading any of these guys in any lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And look, even a guy like Taysom Hill lining up as a wideout while Ingram gets a direct snap or Montgomery gets a direct snap on the goal line. I mean, we're going to see a lot of crazy shit. They're 5-6. They're 5-6 this year. They've lost four straight. They at this point they have everything to lose, and if they can win this game, they're right back in the playoff hunt. They can make the playoffs this year. Playoffs. They can make it. But if they lose this game, they might be out of it. So expect some weird shit to happen. They're at home. They've got an innovative coach, the guy who doesn't give a shit. He'll onside kick a ball in the Super Bowl. He doesn't care. Expect crazy shit. I don't know what's going to happen.
And remember, Dallas's run defense is not good. So they may not just straight hand the ball off to Mark Ingram. This could be a lot of designed runs specifically for Taysom Hill to take advantage of that. A bad run defense having to account for the quarterback all of a sudden, that's not a good situation for them to be
in. Absolutely. All right. So we both agree that Dak and Taysom in the flex is pretty much a lock if you don't have him at the captain. I totally agree with that. All right. So let's go to Cowboys running backs here. Go ahead and take this over, Ellie. Zeke Elliott at 10.8K.
Yeah, Zeke's priced up a little bit too high for me. The one reason that I'll be playing him tonight a little bit, I'll probably be just a little over the field, is he should come in close to 20% owned just based on his price, his low projection, and that nagging injury he's been dealing with. For me, it's easy leverage to get on one of the best players in the NFL. So I don't mind throwing a couple dollars at that just for a leverage play, not even looking at his projection. Other than that, I'm not going to be piecing him in specifically to any of my lineups. You may want to do a captain lineup with him to kind of just account if you don't feel like doing a bunch of lineups with him in the flex. Going with the field, you might be able to just capture that value by throwing him at captain. Did it with J.D. McKissick the other night, right? I wasn't too high on getting him in solo lineups, so I had him at captain. I think that's a good way to kind of get some leverage here. And call back to that Washington game, I think this is a similar situation as well. This is an opportunity to maybe play Tony Pollard at captain as well, mm-hmm. and kind of do the handcuff with him and Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know that the handcuff's going to be quite as beneficial just because of the pricing that we're looking at on Zeke. I don't mind taking a couple stabs here on Tony Pollard without Zeke if I have the ability to do it from a salary perspective. Otherwise, there's a very good chance I'm not getting much of this backfield at all.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Tony Pollard a lot in this game. I'm usually a pro Zeke Elliott guy, and I'm kind of under on Pollard. But after watching that game, you just see that Zeke, I wouldn't have been surprised if they just held him out of this game. I mean, he's just not been knee injuries and, I mean, lots of different injuries have just piled up. And you're going to want him healthy for the playoffs. Tony Pollard, they might just rely on Tony Pollard, especially if this turns into a, you know, two-touchdown game in the, you know, three-touchdown game in the second half. They might just give it to Tony Pollard to let Zeke sit on the bench. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, the only thing that I do want to call out, like, is I'm with you. I agree with all those statements. The one thing that's concerning for me is New Orleans is historically a fairly decent team against the rush. They tend to have pretty strong defensive lines.
And first in yards per carry and third in yards per game this year.
Yeah. So, and then again, that's where I'm kind of concerned a little bit. Now, the one advantage that we will have is I do think that this should be a game where Dallas is leading by 7 to 10 points. So there is a potential that you're going to get some increased workload for Tony Pollard. So those are the two big things that I'm considering when I'm looking at the running backs here.
Yeah, agreed. I don't mind the handcuff usually, but in this case, I think I might just do a direct pivot. If I'm playing Pollard, I might sit Elliott. Because Elliott worries me, the kind of guy that can go out in the middle of the first quarter and be in the blue tent for some odd reason, you know?
Yeah, and it was different on Thursday because Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic were both priced well enough.
Yes.
This one, you have Zeke priced so high that it's almost there's too much opportunity cost to handcuff.
All right, so let's move over to the other side here. We got Mark Ingram at 5K. This is just criminal.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram at 5K, especially with a guy like Taysom Hill at quarterback, where you're going to see some weird formations, you might see some weird draw plays. I think that Mark Ingram is going to get a lot more opportunities than we saw last week. I mean, the Bills shut them down big time. They couldn't run the ball at all. But I think they're going to be moving around a little bit more. They're not just going to be working between the tackles like they were last week. Expect Mark Ingram to... I mean, his career has come back to life just ever since he came back to this team. I mean, he was left for dead in Texas.
He's still the leading rusher in Houston this season.
That's insane.
Yeah, by like 100 yards, bro.
Yeah, so week 11, he had 16 carries for 88 yards, 8 targets, 6 receptions. I mean, this guy is just going to get – he's going to get in the action. And I'm not afraid to play Tony Jones at 800 again this week. I know we were all snake-bitten by him last week, but he got opportunity. He got 16 carries last week. They just got shut down, and they were losing. Well, they lost 6-31 in that game. It wasn't going to matter anyways. So I really think you can plug him in a little bit, because I think a guy like Tony Jones can get a goal line touchdown, and at $800, that might break the slate right there. I'm not as high on him, obviously, as I was last week because he's not starting, but you just got to consider him, don't you?
Yeah, I love Tony Jones this week. I'm going to keep playing him at that price tag, especially at that volume. I understand he had less than 2 yards per carry on this on 16 attempts and only 27 rushing yards. You were probably getting keyed on in by the defense, right? And you're playing Buffalo, which you were anticipating probably being behind at some point. I mean, the Saints have really no business to be keeping up with the Buffalo offense like that, right? So it's not a great opportunity for Tony Jones in his, I'm pretty sure it's his first career start in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
It just wasn't a great opportunity for him. I think this is a better spot. He has an opportunity to spell Mark Ingram. All the weight's going to be on Mark Ingram, who we know can handle it. So having a different change of pace back, I think, is going to open up a lot of opportunity. And just one thing I want to call out here about Mark Ingram, he's priced as if Alvin Kamara is playing.
Yes.
So what that means to me, yes, it is absolutely an incorrect pricing for him. By the time we get to our captain slide, I may have already changed my mind. I was kind of leaning towards Mark here a little bit, but Mark Ingram might be the best play on the slate today, and I'd be surprised if he's under 60% owned.
And the field is along with us. I mean, we're not doing this isn't a bold take. He's going to be 50% owned as of now, based on projections, and it'll probably be like 10% owned in the captain, you would think, because of that price tag.
Yeah.
All right. So wide receivers for the Saints, you got Tre'Quan Smith. I mean, look, this team is not very good when it comes to the wide receivers. They don't have a number one. They really don't even have a number two. I mean, if Tre'Quan Smith was on a lot of these teams that are in the playoffs, he probably wouldn't even be the number two option. I know he's a pretty good player, but he's a little inconsistent. He's at 5,600. Deontay Harris is at 4,600. Marcus Callaway, 6,400. Little Jordan Humphrey, 2,600. And you got Ty Montgomery. I'm actually really interested in Ty Montgomery at 3K because the stuff we were talking about with Tony Jones, you can just swap him out with Ty Montgomery. I mean, I really think Ty Montgomery is a much more dangerous of a player, and they priced him up because of that. He was at $200, now he's at 3K. I think you can, out of all these guys on the lower end, I think Ty Montgomery probably has the most volume, like safe volume. Tre'Quan Smith and Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris, I think you got to try to fit some of them in. I just don't know how dangerous the pass game is going to be with Taysom Hill back there for the first time in a year, right?
Yeah, I really expect to see the overall passing attempts to kind of decrease versus Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston's very much even Trevor Siemian, like those are throwing quarterbacks. Pocket I'm not sure yeah. that Yeah, I'm not sure that that's what we're going to see here tonight. I think they're going to run more like pistol type stuff where you're running RPOs. Just to kind of give Taysom Hill an opportunity out in space. So with that being said, I think you're wanting at most one pass catcher from the Saints. And I think to your point, you kind of just rotate these top guys. I think Ty Montgomery is good, kind of just like GPP, like just really just tournament play that you can throw on the flex because he's going to have that boomer bust upside. But guys like Deonte Harris and Marquez Callaway, I think were probably my two favorite receivers from the team in that order. And then maybe Tre'Quan Smith at three. He did not seem to be on the same page with Trevor Siemian last week. And it was causing some issues, right? They weren't necessarily connecting. They weren't getting the timing right. He wasn't turning when he was supposed to. It didn't look like he was sitting in the right spots in the zones. Those are things that aren't going to get any easier now that you're switching your starting quarterback. So it's just something that kind of concerns me a little bit with Tre'Quan Smith. But, you know, Deonte Harris is projected for damn near the same amount of points and it's $1,000 cheaper. Yeah. So I don't mind taking a stab on guys like Deonte Harris and Marquez Callaway.
Look, real quick. Tre'Quan missed like the first 6 weeks. I mean, he's been out for a minute. And even when he first came back, you can what's his bucket? Jameis Winston was clearly pissed at him in one of those games, in his first game back. I mean, he was yelling at him on the line. They were not connecting properly. And now you're talking about him playing with his third different quarterback when he was already behind. So he has the upside. We've seen him absolutely crush in a few games. But reliability-wise, I just don't know that it's there. So I totally agree with you, man. You got to probably just get one, maybe two at max of these guys, unless you're talking about Ty Montgomery because he's a little bit more of a Swiss Army knife kind of guy. And honestly, you got to think the average depth of target in this game for the Saints is going to be like 10 yards. I mean, they're not throwing down the field more often than they will go short. You have to think that. Go ahead, bro. What were you going to say?
No. That's pretty much it. I'm right on with you. Those are the only guys that I'm looking at. Ty Montgomery, like I said, is going to be kind of a GPP flyer. Maybe a guy that I play instead of a kicker. But other than that, I'm not looking at anybody else. And I'm really going to be prioritizing the Dallas side of the wide receiving groups.
Look, besides last week, Dallas's pass defense, they gave up a lot of yards. They gave up touchdowns. But overall in the season, their rating is fourth in the NFL. And they have 15 interceptions on the year, which is third in the NFL. Their pass rush last week, they had 3 sacks and 7 quarterback hits. Like I said, they did give up 373 yards last week to Carr. But I expect them to lock down this New Orleans team, generally speaking. I mean, I don't anticipate Taysom Hill to get much more over 200 passing yards in this game. You got to think. Look that up real quick. His props for over-under on passing yards. It's got to be right around 200 yards, don't you think? All right, while you're doing that, we're going to go over to the Cowboys side of things. This is where things get interesting, and this is where you're going to have to really focus in and pick the right guys. If you do, you're going to make some money tonight. CeeDee Lamb's at 10K. Amari Cooper most likely will play. He was activated off the COVID list. Should play tonight, 8,600. Michael Gallup is 6,800. Noah Brown is 600. And Malik Turner is 200. Actually, Malik Turner has an injury designation. He's questionable, so keep an eye out for Malik Turner. But Noah Brown is the kind of the low-end guy here. And I think with Amari Cooper, potentially, you know, he hasn't practiced in a minute. He had symptoms up until yesterday. I don't know how much he's going to actually play. He might play the whole game. He might rotate in and out. So you got to think guys like Michael Gallup and Noah Brown can benefit from that. But CeeDee Lamb to me is the guy here at 10K. Gallup's at 6,800. There's just some good. These guys are well priced, and I think you got to get one, maybe two of these guys in your lineups here. Ellie, did you find anything?
Yeah. So Taysom Hill's at 214.5.
Interesting. Okay. What about Dak? Like 285 or something?
Yeah, he's at 285.5.
All right, so thoughts on these guys, man. If you have Dak in the flex, which we will, you want to put one of these guys at captain slash another one in the flex, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want two of these wide receivers. I'm going to go down as far as Noah Brown, even at $600, he's going to try and fill in that Cedric Wilson spot. Those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah,
but it could mean that he's going to get some opportunities. I mean, again, you're going to be the fourth guy against CeeDee Lamb, Amari, Michael Gallup. So being the fourth string wide receiver is just going to open up some opportunities for you. So I don't hate him at $600.
Yeah.
That said, I think CeeDee Lamb, Mari Cooper, and Michael Gallup are all great flex plays. I think they're all viable captain plays. Amari Cooper, I think people are going to be a little bit shy of him, kind of talking about what you discussed earlier is the COVID stuff. But he's not like my cousin, right? Like, he's not some guy who got COVID and isn't going to be able to go out and play football.
Yeah.
This is what he does for his career. And he's one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. I'd be more worried about fading a guy like Amari Cooper than I would be about not playing him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have some exposure to him at captain just because he's priced nice enough that you can jam in a lot of pieces if you want to and not really have to punt quite as much. But all three of these guys, they're great plays. Michael Gallup at 6,800 is probably criminal. If you think that there's any potential that we'll see a limited Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup just becomes a smash play. So,
yeah. And look, from the narrative side of things, Amari Cooper, I mean, a lot of people are pissed at him for missing those two games. They're not too happy with him. He might come out and absolutely play with his ass on fire in this game and try to prove people wrong that, hey, I missed two games, but I'm still your pretty much your top guy here. All right, tight ends. This is another interesting to talk about. So Dalton Schultz, 7,600. Dalton Schultz, to me, is a guy that you just cannot forget about. We've got three top-end wide receivers that we want to play. Don't forget about sprinkling Dalton Schultz in here, too. And when we talked about we want to get at least maybe two of these wide receivers, you got to include Dalton Schultz into that as well. And Sean McKeon scored a touchdown last week on a showdown slate, $1,000. You can't forget about him, too. So this is showdown. Tight ends, for whatever reason, get a big boost. Don't forget about these guys, right?
Yeah, I love Dalton Schultz. I think he's also a viable captain option. I mean, these prices are soft enough at some of these flex players that you can throw him in a captain and maybe not necessarily need as much exposure in the flex if you like certain builds. So I love a guy like Dalton Schultz, play tight ends on showdown. And then Sean McKeon, 1K is a little bit pricey for him. It is one touchdown. They jacked him up after one game with a touchdown.
Well,
but to your point, we've seen crazier things.
He was 1,000 last week, too.
Oh, was he really?
Before he scored, yeah. He was priced out of that at that point. So $1,000 is, you know, that's still a decent price for a guy like that. But
yeah, if that's the same week over week, then I don't have any issues with it.
But the volume just might not be there. He's going to be your last piece that you'll rotate in with some other value guys that you throw in. All right, so other side of things, nothing really to talk about here. I mean, you got Juwan Johnson at 1,400. He's the kind of guy that can definitely go off. You have him in best ball. He scored a touchdown a few times. He had a two-touchdown game earlier in the year. He had a touchdown against the Giants. And even last week, he was targeted three times for two receptions. At $1,400, it's a little worrisome. I would like to see him around $1,000, a little bit cheaper. But, I mean, you got to try to sprinkle him in. A guy like Nick Vinette, who had a touchdown last week, randomly. It's just these random-ass backup tight ends that keep scoring touchdowns. He's been priced up from $200 to $3,600. I mean, he's at one target. That's his. At this price, I don't know if I like him. He's at one target. And even if he does get you a touchdown, I don't know at $3,600 if that's cheap enough to justify playing him, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think the mispricing of Mark Ingram is going to give us a little bit more flexibility than we need than we've had on other slates, so that we don't necessarily need to take a stab with a guy like Nick Vinette.
Yeah.
Now, that said, he is going to be the tight end on 50 to 60% of the snaps. So if you think that there's any chance that he's going to get increased opportunity because Taysom Hill's in and they should be playing from behind, then I don't mind him at 3,600. But he absolutely is going to need at least a touchdown, three receptions, 30 yards, something along those lines. Juwan Johnson, I think, is a safer play here at 1,400. If he finishes with three fantasy points, it won't kill you.
Yeah.
But that said, it doesn't look like he's finished with fantasy points. Like, what is he, one out of the past 5 weeks? Again, it's something to be concerned about. And then I'm game scripting for kind of a reduction in pass attempts. So I just don't know how much I'm prioritizing these guys, given some of the salaries savings that we have elsewhere.
I mean, a guy like Garrett Griffith, who still gets 20 to 30% of the snaps, not really running a lot of routes, but he's on the field blocking. He's at $200. Watch, he could be the guy that scores a touchdown this week while Nick Vinette's sitting on the bench. Who knows? Right. And one thing to point out here, with a team like the Saints and a guy like Taysom Hill, who on the goal line, they're going to be in shotgun, they're going to be running RPOs, they're going to be doing these weird gadget plays. A tight end in the corner of the end zone, it'll be open. You know, so one of these random dudes could get a little bit more of a boost than a guy like Simeon, who's just a straight drop back passer. All right, so kickers and defense. So we'll start with kickers here. Will Lutz is out, I believe. He's on injured reserve. Yes, so you got Zuerlein and Brett Maher. They should be 15 to 20% owned. This is a little bit of a lower total. So maybe expect some field goals from a guy like Brett Maher potentially if they get stalled in the red zone. Anything else to talk about with the kickers? I mean, are you higher or lower than typical in a game like this?
Greg DeLeg should be a little bit more in play than Brett, just because they'll be playing from ahead, so they'll be more likely to take touchdown or take points when they can get it. Saints will probably need to score and go for it.
All right, so look, the Cowboys are 4,400. A team like this that can cause turnovers. You got Diggs. You got these guys that are really aggressive in the pass game. And a guy like Taysom Hill wasn't throwing the ball consistently in a year. You could expect to see a pick six or a fumble recovery for a touchdown. And at 4,400, you got to kind of consider the Cowboys, and you got to consider the Saints too. I mean, I think I like the Cowboys a little bit more, but they're priced very similarly, and they're both projected between 10 to 15% ownership. I think I would prefer the Cowboys in this matchup, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind the Cowboys here at all. I do think there's opportunity for them to get picks. The one thing that I am also concerned about, though, is they do have the potential to give up a lot of big plays, chunk plays. Because of their aggressiveness on defense, they jump routes a little bit too much, and that's what we've been seeing a lot from Trayvon Diggs. He'll jump route, get an interception, pick six, and I'll give up a 70-yard touchdown the next play.
Yeah.
So that's just something to keep in mind. I like the Cowboys' defense, though, especially against a quarterback making his first start in the season. It's just sometimes you just want to buy low when you can on these guys.
Yeah, I personally believe that this game can hit the over, that it can be a little bit more of a shootout than we're expecting. So I'm not huge on the defenses, but you just got to consider playing some defenses, sprinkling them in. Especially against a guy like Taysom Hill, who can make mistakes. All right, so
How many fantasy points did they have last week?
Let's see. Five.
They had 5 points, and they gave up 36. Yeah. So, like,
yeah,
that's kind of a big deal, right? And that's with a touchdown, stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, if you think that they're going to get a kick return touchdown, a pick six, something like that, then you can see how much that touchdown helps you out after you've given up a shitload of points.
Yep, and I mean, they did, you know, you want to have some fun here. You do the weird Tony Pollard Dallas defense stack. So I don't think it's going to work, but hey, it worked last week. But yeah, they only gave up five. I mean, they only got 5 points. So fade of the night, Ellie, you're not really into fading anybody. Is there somebody that you're not as high on that you think you might just be a little bit under the field this week on?
I guess Zeke, kind of after we talked about it a little bit more here. But again, I'm going to be a little bit more balanced. They just have too many talented players to really want to fade somebody. And the way the pricing worked out on the Saints side, you really should have the ability to play pretty much whoever you want without getting too crazy tonight.
I'm not super excited about Zeke this week. I usually am, but just watching him in that last game and knowing all his injuries that he's dealing with, and especially if we think this game can be a little bit more of a blowout when it comes to the Cowboys in the fourth quarter, you just might not see as much of him in this particular game. And we saw Tony Pollard absolutely go off. I mean, he didn't have a good rushing game last week, but he's a hot hand right now. And why really put risk injury on Zeke when you could just give it to Pollard and save Zeke for later down the road? I might I might be like way under on him in the flex and be with the field or above the field with a couple of captain lineups just in case if he goes off. All right. Here's our crown their ass segment. Denny Green, rest in peace, man. Cardinals just came out with a little documentary about that whole Monday Night Football fiasco. That was pretty interesting to watch. Denny Green hit it.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
So, Ellie, you're originally saying Cooper if he plays, which he most likely will, but you were also kind of thinking a little bit of what's his bucket, right, at running back, Mark Ingram.
Yeah, absolutely. So Amari Cooper, I don't think this is too much of a bull take here. Priced right, dude can go off at any time as long as he's healthy tonight. I think he's great. But Mark Ingram at 5K, kind of just looking at his initial projections, he's just not priced right. Like, this might be an opportunity for us to not overthink it. Just throw him in. The dude ends up with a touchdown and 100 yards. Like, he probably will end up being the optimal captain just because he's priced so low. So it's just something I'm probably going to end up leaning towards. I might have about 50% captain Ingram at this point now. Yeah.
For me, Pollard is a risky captain, don't get me wrong, but he's priced right. And he's like the 13th or 14th highest owned captain, which just jumps out to me as being a little bit too low owned to me. He's not going to, like, you know, for example, like, he's what, 4% in the captain or 3% in the captain. I might have 20% of him, and that's like going way over the field. I'll do guys like CD, Cooper, Ingram. I'm going to spread it out quite a bit this week and some, obviously some Zeke at captain, but not in the flex. All right, so let's build a lineup. Let's see where we're at here. Let's go ahead and just optimize and see what RotoGrinders wants to give us here. Ingram captain, there you go. Greg DeLeg, Gallup, Lamb, Taysom, and Dak. So it's a 2-4, which I don't hate. And just like we said, you got two pass catchers from Dallas. It's kind of interesting. I don't know. I don't hate this. I'm going to save this lineup.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, who do you want to build with first at captain?
Let's start with Tony Pollard.
Okay, let's just see how this is. 11.7K at the captain spot. Let's put in Dak. Let's put in Taysom. That's a solid core to start out with. And then let's go ahead and find our wide receiver choice here. Now, with a cheaper guy like Pollard, we could go with a CeeDee Lamb right off the bat. Do you want to try that and see what that gets us?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we kind of got to go Mark Ingram here, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Mark Ingram, that leaves us with 1,900. So let's see where we're at here. Juwan Johnson at 1,400, McKeon, Tony Jones, Noah Brown. I mean, I'd rather go Noah Brown over any of those guys. There's a chance he's limited, but because of all the wide receivers are healthy now. But Cedric Wilson's still out. Who do you like most there? Like Juwan Johnson, maybe?
I like Juwan Johnson if you want the New Orleans side of this. I like Noah Brown if you prefer the 4-2 stack. So I think there's a couple different builds that I'm comfortable with here. And just rotate the pieces in as you need them.
Now, this is clearly a tournament build. You're not playing this in cash, or you're not playing this in small field tournaments. But as a tournament build, I really like where this is going. So let's pull out Lamb, and let's put Amari in and see what that gets us. So let's go right back to Ingram. 3,300. Now, can we get one of these wide receivers from – we can get Ty Montgomery.
I like Ty.
I like this. That's fine. I like this better. I'm going to save that one too. So a pretty solid tournament lineup. You know, 120,000 entry tournament lineup. This is one of these lineups that you could sneak into a top 10 spot.
Ooh, one more. Go from Coop down to Gallup.
Yeah, let's try it. Gallup.
And then Ingram.
Ingram.
That's
5,100. That's going to get us Deontay.
Yeah. It's going to get us Deontay. I don't mind that either.
Yeah, there you go. So you see our core here. Basically, Dak, Taysom, one of the wide receivers at minimum, Ingram, and then go different at captain and go different at that last spot. All right, so let's go Ingram now and see what we can get. Mark Ingram, he's significantly cheaper. Let's go Dak. Let's go Taysom. Now, let's go. You want to go CD?
Yeah, let's go CD.
Let's go two receivers here, don't you? Don't you think? Maybe CD and Gallup?
Let's do CD and Gallup.
4,300 remaining. That gets us the kickers. That gets us one of the defenses. That gets us a Nick Vinette, a Ty Montgomery, maybe a Greg DeLeg here. That's a 2-4. It's kind of like what we saw in that other, that opto.
Yeah, I think this is the opto. So let's come off Greg DeLeg. Let's actually go down to Nick Vinette.
Nick Vinette, okay. Or, you know, or a guy like Montgomery too, either one.
Exactly.
I'm actually going to leave Montgomery in here because Nick Vinette is priced up quite a bit. I don't like that.
So let's try this. Let's come off CD. Let's go to Coop here.
Okay. Amari Cooper. That's going to get us 5,700 for the last spot if we want to stick with Gallup, or we can go down to somebody else, or we can go to Schultz even, you know. You want to try that?
Yeah, let's go to Schultz.
Well, hang on. Let's just see what this gets us. So you can get Traquan Smith here. That's right. Pretty nice. That's cool. And if you want to go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, keep doing that. Go ahead and throw in Schultz. I want to see what it gives us.
That's 4,900. Yeah. So that gets us
Deontay Harris.
Okay.
I don't hate that, man.
I don't hate that. It's a 3-3 with Ingram at captain, Hill and Harris, and then you got Dak, Amari, and Schultz. Hey, that's not bad. It really isn't bad.
So one more time. Instead of Amari Cooper, let's throw in Gallup. Leave Schultz there.
Okay, let's go with Gallup. Yeah, this is interesting. Gallup and Schultz as your two pass catching options. That's nobody's gonna have that combination.
Then you can get up to Marcus Callaway.
Yeah, 6,700. It gives us Marcus Callaway. Cool. I like it. Saving that one too. All right, let's do. Do you want to do Amari or CD at captain here?
Let's run Amari. Yes, we should, considering that's my captain choice.
Yeah. All right. Dak, Taysom. I mean, the core for this slate is pretty easy for me. Like, I'm going to have a lot of Prescott, yeah, Hill, and Ingram.
Throw in Tony Jones.
All right, let's try it. Tony Jones, 800. 9,900 for that last spot. That gets us we already got Taysom. That gets us Amari. We already got Amari. It leaves a lot on the table to go down to Tony Pollard.
Okay, so how about this then? Let's go with let's throw in Dalton Schultz and then see what it gives us, and what can we come up off of Tony Jones?
Okay, Dalton Schultz, yeah. 3,100 for last spot. It gets us Ty Montgomery.
I don't hate that, dude.
Or a little Jordan Humphrey, Jawan Johnson. Just go down the list. Even go down to Noah Brown in a situation like this.
You can go down to Michael Gallup from Schultz and still have a little bit more if you want to go up. I'm sure that'll get you closer to Deontay Harris.
Let's try it. Let's come off of Schultz and go to Gallup. 3,900 left.
Saints defense or Nick Vinette. No, so it didn't do quite enough.
Yeah, it doesn't do quite enough, but it's just a variation, a nice variation. Yeah. All right, let's do one more. Let's get CeeDee Lamb here. We got to go with CeeDee Lamb in this. It would be criminal if we didn't play a captain lineup with him. Let's do our core. Let's get Ingram in there. And 8,600 remaining for two spots. So where do we want to go? Do you want to get another wide receiver, or do you want to try to fit in two more Saints?
CeeDee, Dak, Taysom. You know what? Let's see if we have any Saints we want to prioritize, and then we can make that decision.
Yeah.
Who have we not gotten enough of here? Let's see.
I mean, if it was
it's still hard not to like Deontay Harris, though.
I agree. Look, if it was me, we're not going to leave it like this, but I would go with a Tony Pollard and then fit in Tony Jones or Noah Brown for a last spot in a situation like this. You know what I mean? Like Noah Brown, it's a little riskier because, well, look, you got Noah Brown, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Dak Prescott, and then you got Tony Pollard for the run game. I kind of like that. But let's just go a little bit more conservative here and try to get a middle-of-the-range guy that we like from New Orleans. Do we like Deontay, or do we like Traquan or Marquez? We can go with any of them.
Let's start with Marquez. We haven't had any of him yet.
Okay, 2,200 left. So we're right back in the Juwan Johnson, McKeon, Tony Jones area. So you could throw in a Juwan. I actually think out of all these guys, Tony Jones is the safest bet because he's gonna probably get the most volume. But hey,
yeah.
I think Tony Jones, people are gonna be snake bitten. I mean, he was 50% owned last week in that game, and even in the main slate, people played him. No one's gonna want to play him this week. No one.
And if you don't like this, you just go down to Deontay Harris. You free up almost two grand, and I'm sure you can get up to a kicker or something a little bit safer.
Yeah, you can get a kicker. You can get Brad Maher or defense or whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this is an interesting slate. Typically speaking, there's a lot of times where we are in this final thought segment, and I'm like, man, this is going to suck to build later. I don't feel that way right now. I think I'm going to have a lot of fun building later. So, thoughts on low-owned guy that can score in this game, and what's your final score prediction?
Low-owned guy that can score, Tony Jones. Final score prediction, let's go 34-17.
I agree with the Cowboys. I agree with Tony Jones. I'm going to go with Ty Montgomery this week. I think he can go off and score again this week. What did you say?
34-17.
Hey, you're 31-17. I'll go 31-17 since you didn't do it this week. All right, guys, thanks a lot. Obviously, throw us a like down there and comment for us and subscribe. Help us out. We appreciate it. Let's get to 50 likes again. Let's do it again. Why not? All right, we'll see you guys later.